Stoveleg Media, igniting conversation.
Welcome to True Crime to Go. What can I get for you?
Hey, it's me. Not really feeling good. The weather here in Kentucky sucks. Feeling soup. Do you have any alphabet soup? Hey, that reminds me of a crime. There was this one time...
Pull up to the second window and we'll see you next crime.
I wasn't done yet. Welcome to True Crime to Go. I am John here with Jamie. How you doing, man?
I'm good. You and I were talking before we went on the air of how we haven't talked about this yet, and I am just completely blown away. When you sent this, I was like, oh, we've done this. We've had to have done this. We haven't done this.
I'm tickled to death to talk about it. I mean, this is an awful case. It's not a traditional True Crime to Go because children are murdered, but this is a case that I had heard about, and I really would have bet money that we had done it.
At some point, it will probably work its way into a bigger episode, but today we're going to try to get to it in 10 minutes or less. Why don't you get us rolling?
I've been on an unsolved mysteries kick, all right? And this was probably one of the most chilling and yet unsolved cases in American history, and that is the case of the Alphabet Murders. This case has earned its eerie nickname, Jamie, because of the victims' first and last names. They were different letters, but they shared initials. So, like, you'll see in a minute, the first name and last name share the same starting.
My eyes almost crossed when you said that. But it's like Marvel, right? It's like Peter Parker, Reed Richards, that kind of thing.
The only person I could think of was Amy Adams. She's one of my favorite actresses.
Yeah.
But we also have three victims. So why don't you talk about the first one?
All right. We're going to go to Rochester, New York in November of 1971. And this individual was 10-year-old Carmen Colon. Carmen was a vibrant, cheerful girl who loved spending time with her family. On November 16th of 71, she left her grandmother's house to pick up a prescription from a local pharmacy. Witnesses recall seeing her leave the store, and when she did, she was visibly upset.
Shortly after, there was a motorist who reported seeing the young girl running alongside of the highway. They were frantically waving for help, but no one stopped. 2 days later, her partially clothed body was discovered in Churchville, which is about 12 miles from where she was last seen.
She had been sexually assaulted. She had been strangled. And the brutality of this crime really shocked the community, as it often does in those times. Despite dozens of interviews, people have seen her leaving the pharmacy, people seeing her on the road. They couldn't really identify a suspect, which made everybody continue to live in fear. Fast forward to April of 73, the Alphabet Killer, struck again. This was 11-year-old Wanda Walkowitz, who was a shy, studious girl who often helped her mom by running errands. On April 2nd of that year, she was walking home from her grocery store, similar to Carmen that we just talked about, and she vanished.
Wanda was last seen on Conkey Avenue carrying a bag of groceries. There was a witness who reported seeing her getting into a dark-colored car, but no one could confirm that detail. The next day, her body was discovered in Webster, which is about 7 miles from Rochester. Wanda had been sexually assaulted and strangled, just like Carmen. Investigators did note that her body had been carefully placed, suggesting that the killer was meticulous and calculating.
The similarities between the cases were undeniable, but police were no closer to finding a viable suspect. The community continued to get more and more anxious and really started fearing for children's safety. And a lot of these missing kids cases, we go back to Amy Mihaljevic, like this era in American history was really bad for children getting kidnapped.
The final victim that we know about was an 11-year-old named Michelle Menza. She was a friendly, outgoing girl who loved to play outside. She loved being with her friends. On November 26, 1973, Michelle went missing after she left school to retrieve a purse that she had forgotten at home.
Witnesses saw Michelle near a shopping plaza and later reported seeing her being approached by a man in a vehicle. Despite their accounts, the exact details of the encounter remain unclear. 2 days later, as you may expect, her body was found in Macedon, about 15 miles from Rochester.
Her body showed up and showed the same horrific signs of sexual assault and strangulation as the other two victims. Investigators did note that she had also been beaten, indicating an escalation in the killer's violence. At this point, the pattern was undeniable. There were three young girls, all with matching initials. They were all abducted, assaulted, and murdered. And the case gripped the nation, but the killer remained elusive.
Which, to me, it seems like these kind of crimes are normally a crime of opportunity. You're looking for a girl off by herself to do this. But how is he pinpointing these individuals who have alliterative initials? How does he even know? And it, like, I don't know. It just goes a little deeper into the psyche of this individual. So to me, it just raises so many questions. They immediately launched an investigation that would be one of the most extensive in Rochester's history. They had hundreds of tips, potential suspects were questioned, but the case would eventually go cold despite several suspects. Tell us about them, John.
Yeah, over the years, there have been several suspects that emerged. One of them was named Kenneth Bianchi, who later became infamous as one of the Hillside Stranglers in California. And he happened to live in Rochester during this time that the murders took place. He was known to target young women that and fit the psychological profile of the Alphabet Killer. But there have been no physical evidence tying him to any of these crimes.
Another suspect was Joseph Nasso, who was a photographer who committed eerily similar murders in California decades later. Like the Alphabet murders, his victims had matching initials. Despite the parallels, investigators couldn't get a connection between Joseph Nasso, the area of Rochester, and these particular victims.
Some people theorize that the killer was a local man who happened to know the area well and could easily get children into his vehicle. The lack of DNA evidence and the technology available at the time really hindered progress. And today, there are, of course, advancements in forensic science, and hopefully some of them can offer some closure to this case.
Yeah, John, I do statistics and mathematics for a living. The likelihood of an individual committing three crimes, again, a crime of opportunity, and all three victims having to have matching initials is astronomical. So this was intentional, which makes me very interested to learn more about Joseph Nasso. But it's so hard for me to believe that they also would have stopped or there weren't more victims somewhere in the middle. So I think there are other crimes that could be connected to this individual. And I am hopeful that this is one that can be solved.
That's a really good point that this was only during a few year span of time. And then it stopped. And that's all we know about. So did the person die? Did they commit suicide? Are they in jail for something else? I did read that the FBI believes that the names having the same alliteration or the same initials or whatever was a coincidence. I think statistically, and you're the bigger nerd than I am, it's impossible.
I don't have the numbers in front of me, but it would be absolutely like the biggest decimal you can imagine.
Well, I read that they believe that in order for him to have got that information and know these girls enough for them to get in the car, like he would have to be stalking them.
I would think so too. Yeah.
But
that's a good point.
They don't think he was stalking them. So they think it's random. I feel like it's somebody that knew the girls. I have my own personal theory. I'm not going to go on record. I'll tell you off the air.
Okay.
I may talk about it on Patreon. I may not, but it's a hot take for sure.
Okay. Yeah. And I mean, is this just an area where everybody had names like that? Was it just at the hospital? They're like, no. You got to pick the same first letter as your last name.
You and I teach Sunday school. Do we have anybody? There's like, I can think of one kid off the top of my head that has the same letters.
It's pretty rare.
So, yeah, I think it was not a coincidence. I think, he didn't target boys.
Yeah.
With the same first and last name, initial, whatever.
Yeah, I don't think it can be coincidence. I would love to hear your theories. And again, we will likely bring this into a bigger episode. But once we realized we hadn't covered it, we had to jump in. And here we covered it in almost 10 minutes or less.
Would you like crime with that?
You've listened to True Crime Cast, distributed by Stoveleg Media. Check out Stoveleg.com to find out more about your hosts and to find other podcasts to listen to. Stoveleg Media, igniting conversation.